I think Mark Ewell, executive director of the Michigan High School Athletic Association, is standing by the Metro Health Sports Medicine guest line. How you doing, Mark?
Good, Bill. Good afternoon.
Yeah, it's been a busy 5 days since we last talked on Friday. A lot of states are unveiling their plans, and it's interesting to see what different states are doing when it comes to high school sports this fall.
It is, and you know, certainly some of those decisions, especially in the western states, were really on the heels of the decision to move all education online. That, you know, we're not going to have students on campus for any classes, which is the case in California. Then it's tough to also have athletic activity. The advantage a state like California has over us, obviously, their weather. They can get outdoors and you know, play fall sports during the months of December and January and February, where here we just don't have that option yet. But then again, as you led in here to this segment, you know, the numbers are headed back in a positive direction. We're not seeing the caseload that they are seeing in places like California and Texas and Florida. And, you know, as we've talked from early on in this pandemic, Bill, we're just going to take things in small segments of time. And if that has to even mean on a week-by-week basis, so be it, because I think a lot of people are ready to go. And once we get the word, I don't think there needs to be much lead time to get back to activity. And still looking, you know, the Lions, you know, talked about, they're still fans being allowed with masks and still looking at what the colleges are thinking. And yeah, we're just continuing to take things here on a day-by-day basis.
Yeah, most areas, states, school districts, it seems football is getting pushed back, or at least they're planning on it right now, is getting pushed back to the spring in most states. And we've said it from the start in our conversations, Mark, on air and off air, that wrestling and football, I think, are V2. Basketball, from all these tournaments happening, like in Fort Wayne or Indiana or outside of Michigan, there doesn't seem to be these massive outbreaks of kids playing basketball. But the unknown that you haven't seen wrestling or football come back, that's a very delicate area for any school district to say we're going to be the first in, or any state association.
It is kind of a big game of stare down, because we've got a few of our neighbors who they actually could start their fall practices a week ahead of ours on August the 3rd. And I think that right now, you know, it's been interesting with Major League Baseball playing some exhibition games, you know, just beating the NBA and the NHL. And I think you've got a lot of states who are all tentatively planning to start on time in August. And, you know, just we're going to see who's going to take the lead here. You know, we've had some conversations even with some of our state government leaders and education leaders to where, okay, the issue, do we start sports on time? And even if it's our lower risk group, to where now we really give our educators a week or two of data of, okay, we've now had kids together, they're doing workouts, which, by the way, have been going on the last 7 weeks anyway. But with the start of fall sports, maybe that could be helpful in deciding exactly what those early days of school look like. So maybe that, you know, sports can kind of be that bellwether a little bit. Or the other school of thought is, you know what, let's get school up and running for the year, and then sports could follow soon after that, which, of course, would be a scenario where we push some things back. But our board meets again next week, Wednesday. We're going to lay out some of these options. Certainly our board members have gotten, you know, we've got superintendents that sit on that. Our other representatives, I'm sure, have talked to the superintendents in their parts of the state. And as we've discussed earlier, the hard part here is a one-size-fits-all solution, because we've got parts of our state in different phases, and the virus has certainly impacted those different pockets much differently. So, again, you have to slow things down. Everybody wants to make decisions, and, you know, this is what's going to happen a month from now. And I think that the biggest lesson of all this is you just have to slow down. Don't cancel things before you have to. And it's okay just to take things in very small increments of time.
Well, you can look at last Wednesday when we talked on the huge show across Michigan. cases had hit a high we hadn't seen since May. And a week later, they're down by over, I think, 300 plus a week later. So there now you get that trend going the other way. And it is week to week, and we've lived this since early March. And you guys, as an organization, working with schools and government officials in Lansing, it has been a week to week thing. So we're sitting on July 22nd. Football doesn't start till what? The week of is it the 24th, 27th? When is it scheduled to start?
Games. Yep.
Yeah, games. So you're still sitting on basically what I said going into our conversation. You have a 2 to 3 week period to watch all of this before you have to say go or no, right?
Absolutely, and it might even be something, and I'm going to steal a illustration that Governor Whitmer used, and you know, if you get back to some activity the week of August the 10th, because there are some concerns from schools that we're going to go here from 0 to 60, that, you know, we've done some conditioning and some working out, but, you know, there hasn't been any competition, there hasn't been a by any means, any kind of a normal summer with activity, and then once the week of August 10th hits, well, now it's 0 to 60, that maybe we take the first week or two of the 10th and the 17th, and you kind of turn that dial slowly to where now you allow practice and you allow, you know, some 7-on-7 type things, and then, you know, maybe after a week or 10 days of kind of a mini camp approach, then you get into contacted practice. And if that means then that you lose a week or two of your regular season, so be it. But that would just be yet another way to kind of, you know, feel the ground underneath your feet as we all kind of ease back into activity and hopefully giving our kids, you know, a few things that resemble some sense of normalcy again. But again, that will be something else that we talk about with our board next week of, okay, if it is safe for activity on the 10th, maybe that looks a little bit different as we really kind of ease into things those first couple of weeks.
State of Ohio Football Coaches Association released like a 37-page guideline for the fall, and they dramatically limited contact, their plan, proposal, that they were going to do of, like, I think it was like 36 minutes, 38 minutes of contact in practices allowed each week by teams this year, this fall.
Yeah, and that guidance was excellent. I actually talked to one of our board members with our Football Coaches Association here in Michigan this morning, and they're going to have a guidance document that'll be right on the heels of the Ohio one. And what's really good about this, it had some great pictures and illustrations. It broke it down even to how you're doing drill work.
Yes.
You know, how to keep kids safe during those down periods. And yes, you know, trying to you know, have contact where you need to work on those fundamental skills to make sure that we're keeping kids safe, but yet, you know, maybe not working harder, but working smarter in terms of some of the virus concerns. So, no, the Ohio guidance was great, and again, I'm biased here, but I think the Michigan one that our coaches will get out will just be a little bit better than the one from the Buckeye State, hopefully.
Yeah, and they had things like limiting practice groups to 9 players. Players would arrive in staggered times, so they're all not, you know, socializing and walking in. They maintain social distancing. Also, during games, they would extend the sidelines to 80 yards to have social distancing on each side. So I read some of those proposals from the Ohio Football Coaches Association at the end of yesterday's broadcast, and it's a smart plan because the biggest unknown, Mark, is there's no blueprint anywhere in the world for the return of tackle football. There isn't.
No. Nope. This is certainly uncharted waters. And, you know, we've been able to learn some lessons. I was on a call earlier today with the director of the Iowa State Association. And, of course, in Iowa, they play school baseball and softball in the summer. So they're actually getting ready to start their state tournament at the end of their season, which actually lasts 8 days in Des Moines, starting with their small schools all the way up to their big schools. And so he was able to give some firsthand accounts from the last 2 months of what has this school season been like. Yeah, they've had some positive cases, and they've talked about how each of the local county health departments have handled those. You know, a few teams have had to shut down for periods ranging everywhere from 5 days to 14 days. But it was really instructive for him just to talk about what it was like. And what they found is once they got into their season, Bill, that most of their time was dealing with the, and they haven't had a lot of them, but dealing with the positive cases. Most of them have been asymptomatic, to where the person would have known they had the virus if they hadn't been tested. And just how they handled those, when can that player return? When can that team return? And so, I do appreciate our friends in Iowa for kind of giving us a little bit of a sneak peek of what things could look like. And again, it hasn't been ideal, but in those two sports, kids of Iowa have gotten back to activity this summer. And I think overall it's been positive for those kids there.
And I assume that no kids became a name on a critical list, and they lost no high school athletes, baseball and softball in Iowa, to COVID-19. Nobody died, correct?
That is correct. Yep, that of the cases they had, again, he was just speaking generally, but seemed like that any of the positive cases that they did have were all, again, no disrespect to those who have had it, but his description was they've all been minor in nature. So, and which is in line with a lot of the research and data that, you know, healthy teenagers without underlying conditions, they're not in a high risk group.
I think everything is going to hinge on where we're at on school districts having face-to-face learning. I really think, Mark, that no matter you and your board, no matter the plans put together, where's the governor's office at? Where's the Michigan Department of Education at? Where are individual school districts in Michigan at when it comes to face-to-face learning? Yeah, will the kids be in school? And if they're online and there's no school, it's basically that California model where the sports will have to get pushed back to the winter.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, my one of my big concerns, and I'm seeing stuff floating around on social media already, is for some of these AAU-run organizations, that if there's no school sports this fall, they're going to be ready to go with full leagues, and you know, which would obviously fly in the face, and they're going on right now, which fly in the face of all of our government's directives. And so again, that's why we're going to try and be here, is certainly it's safety first, but we're going to be as safely aggressive as we can, because we know if we're not able to give kids a place to play and a place to play safely, there's going to be other places for kids to play. And it's just unfortunate, but the bottom line in a lot of those programs is making money rather than what's really best for kids. And that's something that's got to be part of the equation as well.
I think the home online learning, trying to get a fourth grader, fifth grader, sixth grader, seventh grader, eighth grader to be committed to sit and look at a laptop for 4 to 6 hours a day is going to be impossible. I really...
Crazy. Yep.
It's going to be impossible. I'll state it now as a father of a soon-to-be seventh, eighth, and tenth grader, that you have a mom and dad who are working, who's gonna make sure the kid is online? And then also, what about families that don't have laptops, that don't have high-speed Wi-Fi? What are you doing then? I don't think any school district can force a kid to do online learning, just legally. It wouldn't be possible.
And in those cases, Bill, and what that is going to do is really it's going to... The negative impact on those school communities it's a lower socioeconomic to where it would borderline on being discriminatory. The communities of affluence and with money, they're the ones that can make that happen, whether it's with the hardware or the connectivity issues. And no, it's our urban schools that have so many challenges, and now by moving to an all-online platform, I just think those challenges grow even greater. So that's, again, and I think what we've all learned here over the spring experience is that, you know, a big part of education is relationships. That relationship with your teacher or teachers and an administrator, that trusted adult, maybe it's the custodian or that librarian, for so many kids might be the most positive influence that they have in a day. And Yes. And I understand why we've had to do the online piece and tried to keep moving forward with that. But I think the biggest light bulb for an awful lot of parents is just how valuable those relationships, not just with peers, but with trusted adults can be.
Okay. And then you can take it even one step further, what you mentioned earlier, that the affluent communities with money will have the ability to hire daycare and help to ensure their kids do the online classes. And those same communities will have the money and resources to play those club sports where other communities, based on socioeconomic status, that kid may not be able to go to school or play sports. So how does that help anybody?
It doesn't. And that's why we need to, again, it's going to be safety first. And I probably should trademark this, but we want to be as safely aggressive as we can be because, Bill, I believe with all of my being that we are the organization, and with all of our member schools and having professional educators in many cases who serve as our coaches, that is going to be the safest place for our kids to play again. And if we're really serious about keeping everybody as safe and healthy as we can, that's why we have to try to be able to do what we can do.
Medical data. Not politicians, nothing against teachers, schools, yourself, Mark, or anybody, that the medical professionals with no spin or lean need to guide Michigan and America out of this. That's it. You look at the medical data. So we talked a week ago on July 15th, and there was a spike. I think the governor spoke that day. Highest case total we'd had, almost 900 since back in early May. A week later, we're below, I think, 530. The death count is lower, and that's good news. Where it could be in 2 or 3 weeks, we're talking worst-case scenarios. What if in 3 weeks it improves to the point that we're going up in phases in Michigan, right? Why can't we have that hope, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that the mask thing has become very political, but just selfishly, here as an athletic dad, I want my kid to have a season. I want every kid in our state to have a season. And if that means that whenever I'm outside of my house and in a public or a common area that I need to put the mask on, regardless of politics, I just ask people, just put on the mask. It's not about politics. It's about our young kids right now. And, sometimes... And hopefully we can all work together. I thought the messaging last week from the Wolverine and Spartan coaches was great. And again, that's the way, if people have kind of felt helpless the last 4 months, and if folks are wondering, well, what can I do to help contribute to getting kids back to activity, it's wearing your mask when you're around others to keep driving the numbers down to give our kids a shot at playing this year. So that's my plea here to your listeners today.
And by the way, athletic booster groups and school fundraising, get the school colors on a mask and start selling them beginning in August through the school year. That could be a nice fundraiser for every school, every high school team across Michigan. Mark Ewell, Executive Director of the Michigan High School Athletic Association, joining us on the Metro Health Sports Medicine Guest Line. So let's update everything. From last Friday, you guys released your plan, and your first choice right now is everything goes on as scheduled. You then are going to meet with your executive board. Is it again next Wednesday, you mentioned, correct? 1 week from today?
It is, 1 week from today, and so if we can connect again next week, I should have some more news to share. And yeah, the plan is, and our announcement last week was we're going to keep our fall sports in the fall. Best case scenario, we start on time and everything is able to be played. The one possibility is we could have a delay in the start of practice the week of August the 10th, where maybe it now does coincide more with the start of the school year. It could even be a scenario, Bill, where some sports are able to start on time, probably those in our low-risk category of golf and tennis and cross-country, but maybe others get delayed. And then, of course, if nothing is able to happen this fall, then we've got some plans for the back end of our year of once we would get through winter sports, then what could a fall season and spring season look like playing all the way into late July. So that's the plan as of last week. What was also encouraging today is, the Pfizer story about a possible vaccine by December of 2020. And again, as we've talked before, the one thing that we do have right now that we didn't have last March and trying to salvage last school year season was we do have some months in front of us. Again, a lot of uncertainty ahead, and you're not sure what the vaccine, you know, what that timetable will be if it ever does, if it is able to happen. But at least we do have some months ahead of us, Bill, to where we can take a little bit more of a patient approach. And again, our commitment continues to be that even if we have to get very creative, we want to give our kids three sports seasons this year, if at all possible.
Yeah, Mark, and what you alluded to from the Wall Street Journal tweet, the U.S. will pay almost $2 billion to Pfizer and BioNTech to secure hundreds of millions of doses of a COVID-19 vaccine that Americans would get for free. And that's all based on the vaccine going through its final trial and being able to help us get through this pandemic. So the news is good on the numbers front in Michigan, where we're at on cases and fatalities, and just a lot of talk out there on many fronts when it comes to a vaccine, which they say will be the fastest to market in the history of the world, because we are dealing with something that has affected the entire world. Mark Uhl, Executive Director of the Michigan High School Athletic Association. You can stay up to date on the return to play and high school sports in Michigan, MHSAA.com, at MHSAA on Twitter, and MHSAA on Facebook. Mark, good stuff. We'll talk in a week. Get an update.
Sure, we'll talk next week. Thanks, Bill.
All right, Mark Uhl. That man could be governor, could be a senator, could be the president of the United States. He's a leader who wears what he feels on his sleeve. He defines what leadership is all about. Passion and the ability to try and take it to a point where you can save a senior year for a Michigan high school athlete. He tried for those seniors in the spring and even the winter. Amazing leadership. At times, it seems to be a lost art in Michigan and in America. And I don't care what side of the political aisle you're on. But Mark Uhl and his team at the Michigan High School Athletic Association, and I know they're a partner with me, but I'm talking from the heart. He inspires me with the way he leads. So we'll get an update with Mark 1 week from today.